AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. Two 12 seeds and an 11 seed won their first round games. And the two fives and the six seeds that lost should send a big thank you to St. Peter's. The 15 seed took Kentucky out of the tournament, and that's all the focus this morning. We've got the free-for-all ready to roll. Ukraine's address to the U.S. Congress, President Biden's phone call with Chinese President Xi, fertilizer prices, gas prices, it's all on the agenda.
Live from the waning hours of the work week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Chris Gibbs. Right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork I'm Handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, I would say waning hours of the work week is extremely accurate this week.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, waning?
Yeah, there's probably like an hour left for most people.
Yes, I suppose so.
Because when the game started 11 o'clock Central, most people are going to be watching that rather than, you know, like working.
something very disturbing happened to me this morning, and I'm having a hard time getting over it. Can I talk it through with you?
Oh boy,
I had my morning brew here set. I'm writing the news. I'm getting things put together. I'm getting started with my day. You know, a nice hot cup in the morning.
Right.
And I went to refill it. Let it cool for just a short amount of time. You don't want it too hot. You don't want to burn your tongue. You know, you're trying to get off to a good start here.
Yeah.
I take that first sip of a fresh cup.
Yeah.
And there is a box elder bug in it. Went right in my mouth. And I can't get over it. Oh, the humanity.
You know what? I'm sorry that happened. I am.
Seriously, I just can't shake the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. I am more sorry that that happened than Kentucky lost. Oh, man. And listen, you guys, Kentucky fans that might be listening, the only reason that I can poke fun is because Iowa State University has a Hampton in our history. Okay?
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. When Iowa State was a two seed and Hampton knocked us out game.
Oh, no way. So you're commiserating more than anything.
Well, I guess I might just be saying, yeah, it's happened a couple of times since then. And then of course, one of Jim's teams, Virginia, was knocked out as a one seed. So,
well, see, and this is just what makes this season, this particular sporting event, shall we call it, which shall remain nameless, so darn exciting. It's why it captures the attention of the nation.
Yeah, that's you got it, man. You got it exactly right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Chip Fed Chief Jerome Powell on Wednesday said the probability of a recession in the next year is, quote, not particularly elevated. Analysts recall that Powell stuck with inflation being, quote, transitory far longer than obvious inflation numbers dictated another stance. The market is pricing in a higher recession risk, and some analysts note citing the inversion between 5- and 10-year yields. And Chip, let me just dovetail onto this one. The average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage topped 4% for the first time since May 2019, Freddie Mac said yesterday. At the beginning of the year, the average rate on America's most popular home loan was 3.22%. That's up from a record low of 2.65% in January 21, when it spent more than half the year under 3%. Chip?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're probably going to see some of the rush from, you know, first-time home buyers, if they can get in there and get a bought before the interest rates continue to work even higher. I think we're probably going to see some of that. But with the elevated prices and the inflation that we are dealing with right now, that could be a very strong headwind to those home sales.
The International Energy Agency is calling on consumers to travel less, share rides, drive slower, work from home, use public transport, and more actions in a 10-point plan to reduce energy use amid increased fuel prices. The IEA said their plan could reduce oil demand by 2.7 million barrels per day within 4 months. Chip.
Yeah, that's to fix the media problem. And they tagged on to that. They suggested that maybe we should go ahead and make the changes permanent in a bid to address climate change. That's the story. That's what they're doing here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Canadian Pacific Railway says it will lock out employees Sunday if it can't get a new contract or an agreement for binding arbitration with Teamster-represented workers. According to the Wall Street Journal, an impasse would strand large volumes of manufacturing and consumer goods and potentially stall shipments of potash ahead of the spring planting season.
Another fertilizer issue.
Russian forces have made little progress in capturing territory this week as troops have been diverted to defend strained supply lines from what UK intelligence services described as incessant Ukrainian counterattacks. Russian forces are stalled outside the capital, where they have taken heavy casualties and have failed to achieve dominance in the air.
Wow.
Ukraine warned the World Trade Organization they may have to limit exports of ag products ahead to ensure domestic food supplies. Meanwhile, Ukrainian farmers are woefully short of fuel ahead of the spring planting season and have lost around 10% of their land to military effects such as bombing. According to a Ukrainian Ag Ministry survey of 2,500 farmers, the growers said they had just 20% of the fuel and between 40 and 65% of the crop inputs they need for spring planting, Chip.
Yeah, and it sounds like the Russians are targeting ag equipment in an effort to make sure that they can't get a crop planted.
Indeed.
It's going to be a very difficult year. Very difficult. All right, thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing real fine. Let's talk about what a family is doing to attract for their labor force on their hog farm. What's going on here?
Well, I had a great opportunity to get to visit with Jimmy Tosh at Tosh Farms about a new program that they started being a part of recently, where they are taking in women from from Hope Center Ministries, which is an alcohol and drug rehabilitation center, and bringing them in as employees as part of the rehabilitation program's vocational training program. And just an amazing story of how they said yes, hesitantly, to bring in a couple of women to work on their sow farm. And incredibly, it has just been a great way for them to tap into a new source of employees. Quite frankly, it's just been a great match for a lot of the women who've come through the program. And quite a few of them have stayed on and are continuing at Tosh Farms. And some of them have become, quite instrumental in doing, some really good things for the farm. So it was a way to get in some new labor from an unlikely source, but also do something to really help change the lives of some women who really needed it.
It's fantastic. It's number one, it's a really good read, but the message that you deliver there at porkbusiness.com, Jennifer, it's an incredible story. It really is. Well done. Thanks for doing it, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. All right, that is Jennifer Scheich. Again, go to porkbusiness.com and check it out. How Tosh Farms is equipping an unlikely source of employees in the sow barn. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get the free-for-all going. We got Wiesmeyer, we got Haney, and Chris Gibbs joins the conversation today.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The 2022 Bracket Busters Challenge presented by Case IH is underway. Who's still in the game? To find out, head to agweb.com/bracket-busters now through April 4th to check the leaderboard.
I wonder how many people had Richmond and St. Peter's moving on to round two. Everybody's... Wow. It is March. We are off and rolling. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you can join us this morning. We've got the free-for-all coming your way. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chip. If people in Iowa weren't afraid of spiders, they are now.
Well played. Well played. A little arachnophobia going on. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How's the bracket looking, Chip, there, Sean?
Oh, I did not have Kentucky losing, but that had to be hard. If you're Kelp sitting there watching that, you're just like, oh, recruiting. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
March Madness is what it is. It has been like this all season.
Yeah.
Everybody tunes in for like these 4 weeks, but it has been like this all season. It's been awesome.
That's right. That is exactly right. Exactly right. Heck, my Cyclones, Haney, have been like this all season. They've gone through stretches where they look like they could beat anybody and probably could beat anybody. And then they go through a slide. And right now we're in one. We are in that slide. I hope it ends tonight. But we are in that slide where we can't beat anybody. We scored 36 points in the Big 12 tournament game. 36, yeah, Haney.
I saw that. Chip, I'll let you know. I have them beating LSU. So
okay,
I'm right there with you. I think I have them going to the third round. I think, you know, Iowa State that showed up at the beginning of the year is who's going to show up in the tournament.
I hope so. I hope you are right. If that is the case, then we'll go deeper than most people have got them going. That's exactly right. Chris Gibbs, Ohio farmer, president of Rural Voices USA. How are you this morning, Mr. Gibbs?
Hey, we're doing great. Looking forward to the Buckeyes and Loyola later on.
Yeah.
So how about that?
What a great game that's going to be. Loyola has the history in the tournament, but I watched them play UNI in the championship game of the Valley Tournament, and that team is good. They are really good, Loyola is.
I would be remiss if I did not say go Bucks.
All right. We'll let it happen. Just don't make a habit of it there, Gibbs, all right? Okay, let's go back to Jim and start this because it sounds like the phone call between President Biden and Chinese President Xi has wrapped up. Is that right?
Yeah, it went almost 2 hours. And Zhenhua from Beijing said the U.S. and China must not only guide their relations forward along the right track, but should shoulder their share of international responsibilities and work for world peace and tranquility. There you go.
Okay, so they really didn't say anything.
Well, we have to get the readout on the real stuff, you know?
Yeah. What was the goal for President Biden in this?
From what they've told us before at the State Department and at the press office at the White House, they wanted to make sure Xi knew there would be consequences if he goes additional steps to help out Russia.
Okay.
That's where agriculture is watching this, because that leads you to, you look at what's happened in the case, and China and Russia are not the same economy, but you know, you look at the ag equipment space, our second largest export to Russia from Canada to Russia is ag equipment. Well, you can't ship there. And there's lots of questions. Even if you could, is it even morally acceptable to do so? And so, you know, if China does cross a line from the Biden administration standpoint, you know, we start to have sanctions in place. What does that mean for, you know, would they ever go the way of putting some sort of sanctions on agricultural exports? It wouldn't be the first place I would go, but I would be concerned about it.
Chris, I know you're concerned about that, aren't you?
I'm highly concerned about that. You know, rural America, if we don't already know it, we need to realize how much we depend on this China market. A third of our soybeans, I can go right down the list. And they're going to have a hard time finding them from Brazil now. So they're going to want to continue to come to the U.S. And I would remind folks, I remind listeners that the last time an administration tried to beat China over the head with sanctions slash tariffs, it did not go well for U.S. agriculture, and it did not go well for the American taxpayer that they had to pony up billions of dollars. It cost a lot of money. And, you know, China is, they are all about the dollars. They're all about the economy. Russia is a whole different bag of bananas there. They're all about Putin and all about expanding, going back, getting things the way they were, whatever. That's not China. They're about the economy. And like it or not, we need to realize how we are tied. Midwest agriculture, agriculture all across the U.S. is tied to trade with China.
Yeah. And Jim, in your comments this morning, trade and a longer term trade relationship between China and the U.S. was on President Xi's agenda for the talks, right?
Definitely. He wanted to look at the big picture there, you know, and there's two other things that my history shows me. Sanctions don't usually work out in the long run. The only sanctions I've ever seen that worked that way was a blockade. And second is, from all the Sunday news shows, it shows the network and cable news bias really against agriculture. They ought to have USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack on those news programs, because we need a spokesman to put perspective on these things we're already talking about.
Yeah, and they have somebody in, you know, on there that is really, really good, say, on the crude oil market. And they ask them a question about the ag markets, and they open their mouth and they make a fool out of themselves by trying to answer a question that they have no knowledge on.
Yes.
And you're right, Jim. The representation of the Biden administration on these issues, Vilsack needs to find his way in to get in front of the American consumers and get the message out about agriculture.
Yes. He's articulate on the food price angle, on trade, and let's get him on there.
Absolutely.
This is where I've been critical, extremely critical of the Biden administration, is that they've only got one spokesman for agriculture. One. They haven't filled, I've said this before, they haven't filled those USDA positions in states where they could have people out there every day talking up, talking agriculture, talking U.S. policy, talking USDA policy, talking climate change policy, talking trade policy, but they just won't do it. And it is absolutely maddening that the only person on the damn planet is Tom Vilsack. As good as he is, he's the only person carrying the ball for ag and administration.
Chris, in a previous life, you were a FSA employee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What was your role? And how much of an opportunity did you get to tell Ag's story?
Well, keep in mind, I wasn't a political appointee. I was a local county director. I had my marching orders to administer federal farm programs through the administration. But political appointees at the state committee level, state FSA committee level, and the state director level, those are Schedule C appointees, and they can go out and talk whatever the administration wants them to say. And those in Ohio, none of them, they've got one state committee person out of five and no state director. It's absolutely maddening. Why in the world they don't put people in place that can carry water for the administration? It's easy. It's not
interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So all of this conversation, I want to wrap up this first segment with this. It was a question from a listener, Jim, and I cannot find the name on it. Sorry, listener. The he said that there are so many indications that countries around the world are limiting their exports in an effort to hold down food prices. What are the odds that the U.S. might do something similar?
Well, history doesn't show they should, but you can't rule anything out. I don't think that'll happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with Jim.
Yeah. But let's be careful not to conflate food supply with food price. And that's what we can talk about in the next segment. But that's what mainstream media has done. They've put it in place that we're having trouble with food supply when it's actually cost. We're not going to run out of food in the United States. We're not going to run out of food. Don't worry about that.
Right.
But on the cost side, it will build up pressure if any of our major crops this spring, corn and soybeans in particular, have a shorter crop, have a below normal trend. And if that's the case, then your pressure at the White House is going to build.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, and especially wheat, Jim.
Based on price.
Yes. Price.
Yeah, and especially wheat. I think that's right. I mean, minimal amount of processing, and wheat can end up in our bellies.
It's the only direct crop that goes directly from the field to the ballot. From the ballot.
Bread's a staple.
Bread is an absolute staple, and it's something that we need to keep in mind. We got the free-for-all off and running on today's AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady is taking a little bit of time away. He's watching basketball with the buddies. I'm telling you, the work week is almost over. We're like half an hour away from this being done. All right, we've got some pressure on the grain markets this morning. Wheat is leading the way to the downside again. We had the big losses on Wednesday, a recovery yesterday, and big movement to the downside today. The SRW contracts off 35 cents in the May. That's putting spillover pressure onto onto corn and onto soybeans. Although soybeans opened mid-range, tried to push to the upside, failed. We're now trading below the opening range. Corn working on an inside day of trade, respected resistance at yesterday's high on the open. Opened very near session highs, and we're trading near session lows right now. So both of those, well, all three of the main grain markets trading below the opening range right now, and that's the kind of thing that will build downside momentum as we make our way through the day. The crude oil market should focus there for just a bit, just slightly higher this morning. I think maybe the markets were looking for a little more direction from the energies than what they're getting right now. As I said, crude oil trading just 50 to 75 cents a barrel higher. We've got the heating oil market trading slightly lower this morning. Over on the livestock trade, live cattle moderately higher, feeder cattle trying to push to the upside on the weakness in the corn market. And that selling, the persistent selling that is in this hog market continues today. 50 cents to $1.15 lower in lean hog futures. Got to keep a real close eye on the technicals in those hogs. That's Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-48.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't have to give us a call. Not yet. You can tweet at us, #AgriTalk. That way I will be sure to see it. The other thing that you can do is send us an email, host@agritalk.com. And we love getting those emails and turning them into questions for guys on the free-for-all in particular. Love doing that. Okay, let's get back to the free-for-all. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, and Chris Gibbs. We're off and running big time here. Okay, I just want to throw this one out because I think it's a curious one. Jim, the Senate passed a bill that would get rid of the clock changing, right? So that we would just stay on current time?
Beginning in 2023.
Beginning in 2023. Okay, so I just had a throwaway comment the other day, said, you know, I don't think it'd impact me much. Well, I got several emails in that said, no, listen, we need to stay with what we're doing. One of them said, get this, on December 21, sunrise in New York City would be at 8:17, and sunrise in South Bend, Indiana for Big Apple Joe Stackler on December 21, sunrise would be 9:09 a.m. I get it. Maybe we do need. Would that work for you,
no,
Joe?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it would work either. Jim, what are the odds that this is going to go through?
Well, a number of senators were surprised it passed, so that's already a surprise. We'll see in the House. The naysayers are beginning to make their views known to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So from a healthcare perspective, for whatever reasons, but the baseball people like it because you'd have day games that could go longer before the lights come on.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Chris, you're right in the middle of that Eastern zone. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. For me, what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, we change our time changes on longitude that we move across. But the daylight savings time becomes more important the further north you are in latitude. Yeah. And so people in the South,
I get it.
Closer to the equator, it doesn't mean as much. So if you're down in Florida or Alabama or southern Texas, it's an odd debate. We're thinking, So what? But up in the northern states, it's a bigger deal. So this is going to be a really odd political thing where at one time over the last couple of years, the House is going to be where the obstruction comes from instead of the Senate.
Yeah.
There are states, Chip, like Arizona, that doesn't participate already.
Right.
So, on
a latitude issue. Yeah.
Yeah. People make so much big of an issue of this. And as somebody, you know, Jim travels, you guys travel a lot. We make so much out of this hour change. It just really is it is kind of funny and ridiculous at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. Okay. Let's get into a conversation about what's happening in Ukraine. Jim. The address by Ukrainian President Zelensky to the U.S. Congress, it was a plea for the U.S. to support a no-fly zone over Ukraine, and I don't see the willingness of lawmakers to support that at all.
No, I think there's a bipartisan at the leadership level not to support a no-fly zone. I think that there's wide consensus on that point. But they're going to get a lot of money, and they're going to get some selected equipment, a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that they're not going to get is support from the U.S. to move those Russian MiGs from Poland into Ukraine either, are they?
No.
Yeah. Last week when we had Senator Moran on, that was still a possibility. And I don't think that that's going to happen. But nonetheless, it was an impassioned plea and the video. And now the bombing of that shelter, the theater that was being used as. To to as a safe place for women and children. This is the brutality continues, Chris, and the pressure is going to get turned up more and more on the president to do something more substantial than sanctions on Russia. And do you think the parties going to be willing to push for engagement in Ukraine?
No. We got to be real cautious here, and that's what the administration's been doing. Certainly, they've been very, very cautious. You know, there's a lot of people on social media, even close to me, that are really keen on sending my son, my grandson, my granddaughter, my daughter to war. Mm-hmm. I'm not real keen on that today. Mm-hmm. And don't ever forget is that what this means to Europe, Eastern Europe, and all of Europe. I've traveled Europe. I was an exchange student in France for a short time, way back 100 years ago. You don't have to go very far, and you're in a couple, three different countries. This is not a lot of real estate, and Ukraine is right on their door. There's no Russian bombs hitting us in New York or downtown Maplewood, Ohio. That makes a real difference in the way we look at policy. For people that say, let's just go XYZ, let's just rock them, sock them. But doggone it, they don't realize what this is going to mean to Europe. And my final point is that if there's one good thing that came out of this mess, and we got a long way to go, but if there's one good thing, is the unity that's been created by the EU and NATO.
Yeah.
And one person is ultimately responsible for that. Putin has solidified their will. Yeah. And solidified their resolve to protect their own territory. And we're going to back them up. But by God, we're not going to send people in there.
But will to do what? They haven't stopped him. He's continued to forge ahead. Not much has changed on that front. I think, you know, Chris, what you say is very right in terms of how a lot of people feel about sending their kids or themselves over to fight in a war that feels so far away. And I think that's, you know, Russia knows this. This is something that Putin knows. You fresh off of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, you know, many people believe this has really impacted how aggressive the White House is going to be on this. But we said last week, it's easy to stand like sit by and watch them take Ukraine, not a NATO member. The big decision starts and begins when they enter NATO territory, if they do that. That's where the whole ball game is.
That's the tripwire. You know, I go back to what General Colin Powell, he would quote some Greek general, Thucydides or something. He said, of all manifestations of power, restraint is the one men respect most. And that's where we're at right now. But the Biden administration and Europe has drawn a line in the sand. This is not an Obama line in the sand in Syria where they rolled over it.
Right.
They've drawn a line in the sand on Article 5, and then we're rocking and rolling. We are rocking and rolling then.
Right.
I think it could also change if it's confirmed, if Russia would ever use chemical warfare.
Yes. Yep.
That would be another red line that could bring a different strategy. But, you know, right now, Russia militarily is losing this war.
Yes, I think that's right. But the amount of propaganda that is being shoved down the throats of the Russian people, there are areas in Russia that do not believe the war is even happening. Okay? And the power of social media, there are people in the United States that don't think the war is happening. It blows me away that level of doubt exists over this, but the war is happening. And Jim, I was going to ask you, if you were going to grade the Biden administration right now on the handling of the situation, you're going to give them, let's just go pass fail for now.
No, I think fail is too strong, but better than expected, I'd say.
I'm going to give him a passing grade.
Yeah.
I am. I'm going to give him a passing grade.
Pass. Yeah. Pass for the hand you got. Pass for the hand they were dealt.
Right, right. Now, what I don't like is how the Biden administration is using what is happening in Ukraine as a catch-all for all of the issues, many of the issues that they are dealing with, and at the top of that list, inflation.
In gas price, yeah.
And gas prices. To see President Biden, to see White House spokesperson Jen Psaki just say, listen, don't you see what's happening? This is Putin's fault. Really? How stupid do they think we are to just take that? Jim, I can't believe they're doing it.
That shows you how nervous they are on the November 8th election. So, yeah, they shouldn't. They're not transparent on that. The first dollar of this run-up was, before February 24th when Russia went in. So
yeah.
I agree with you. Most people know that because they get gas every week.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's exactly right. Okay, we've got to take another break, our final break, before we get to the final segment. All right, Wiesmeyer, Haney, and Gibbs right here on the Free For All on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
The 2022 Bracket Busters Challenge presented by Case IH is underway. Who's still in the game? To find out, head to agweb.com/bracket-busters now through April 4th to check the leaderboard.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got the free-for-all going. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture's Sean Haney, and President of Rural Voices USA and Ohio Farmer Chris Gibbs. We were talking about Ukraine and the situation there and where things are headed. Of course, we talk about many potential market impacts, and right very close to the top of the list is whether or not they are going to get a crop planted. And Haney, from my perspective, it's becoming increasingly unlikely that that crop is going to get anything for export is going to get planted this year. It just doesn't look likely.
I don't think it does either. You're defending your country. We heard President Zelensky say earlier this week, encouraging farmers to do their, to farm, but you're defending your land. Put yourself in that situation. Somebody invades Iowa, Chip. What do you think's happening?
Oh,
you know what I mean? That's where we're at. And it's sunflowers, corn, these are, who would have thought that we'd be talking in 2022 about, what happens if we don't have corn out of Ukraine and how that disrupts the S&D.
Yeah. And it's a fuel issue, Chris, isn't it? If you don't have the fuel, you're not going to get the crop in the ground.
Well, fuel and transportation, there's a report out there. Did I hear it from you? I don't know. They only had 20% of the fuel that they thought they needed to plant a crop. you run out of fuel, you're done. There's not a lot of oxen out there to make that happen. So, and let alone transportation, let alone getting something to a port down in, on the Black Sea, where they've destroyed some of those facilities, and to get that shipped out, and that's where it's going. It's going out through the Black Sea. So, trouble, particularly in wheat. And that's why, you know, our mainstream media, from my perspective, is infatuated with wheat all of a sudden.
Yeah, they certainly are. Jim, the infrastructure damage that Chris is talking about there, that means that this is not something that the war could end today, and the impact for grain flows around the world is going to continue for months, if not years.
It'll build. Absolutely. Yeah. There was market chatter today that China's already indicated they have 6 million tons of Ukrainian corn on the books that won't be shipped. So where are they going to get it?
Go?
And, you know, Ukraine's deputy ag minister, this is what, you know, Chris was talking about in a survey of 2,500 farmers in the country. They had just 20% of the fuel and between 40 and 60% of the crop inputs they need for spring planting. This is going to grow as an issue.
And that's why last week at the G7 ag ministers meeting that took place, that's why the big request from Ukraine was really fuel. It's why the request is being made.
Okay.
And Chip, let's let the listeners remind them that of the balance we have of world supply chains and how fragile those are. If we take Ukraine out of the mix, not that we're getting a lot of stuff from Ukraine, but that wheat's going to the Middle East, it's going to China, it's going here and there, energy's going here and there, and everything is in balance. It's just like our biology for the Earth. Everything's in balance, and if you screw up one thing, it messes up everything else. So I'm wondering what effect it's going to have on U.S. exports and demand for U.S. products, even from China.
Right. Listen, if you want to hear a great conversation on that, Arlen Suderman was on the show with me yesterday afternoon from StoneX.
Oh, okay.
And we talked about that. And the last time that the world has experienced this kind of food price inflation, the hot spots of social unrest popped up all over the world. And you know, military action can be contagious. And if you get social unrest in some of these in some of the volatile areas of the world, things can turn worse in a hurry. Haney, give us an update on the rail situation.
Yeah, a lot of American farmers very concerned about this. I've never had so many people at Commodity Classic ask about Canadian rail issues. The lockout notice has been given. I believe that expires on Saturday, so the strikes could begin on Sunday at CP Rail. This is a huge impact from American standpoint on fertilizer, specifically potash coming out of Saskatchewan, the largest producer of potash in the world. Nutrien says that they are stepping up their production of potash due to what's happened in Russia and Belarus and the sanctions, therefore. So it looks like CP is going on strike. And I'll tell you what, Chip, it's a huge concern here for the livestock industry, the cattle yards, because they're pulling seven times the typical amount of corn out of the Midwest into Canada. Our corn imports are crazy right now. And CP is the main provider of that. So, farmers on both sides of the border need back-to-work legislation and don't have a strike here.
Sean, what's your prime minister going to do about this?
Well, if you look at historically, he slow plays it, but he has got everybody on all sides of the equation encouraging them. You know, this is the timing with what's happening, what's going on in Ukraine. This cannot happen, but he typically slow plays and lets to see if it just works itself out. These are union votes that would vote for his party, so I don't expect quick action.
Gotcha. Chris, 30 seconds on that hit piece in the Atlantic on ethanol.
Yeah, David Frum wrote this piece on ethanol, trying to make a nexus between corn acres getting larger, wheat acres getting smaller, and it's all because of ethanol policy. I don't buy that. You know what? I had a 25-year wheat rotation. I grew it 25 years, and I wasn't going to grow it 25 years because I wasn't making any money. And here's one thing that I want the listeners to remember. Anybody with a donkey and a grain drill can sow wheat. We can have wheat in a big hurry, but by God, not everybody can grow corn because of the expertise, the equipment, and the water.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the water. Good point. Good point. Guys, great conversation. Good luck with the brackets. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. All right. That's Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Chris Gibbs here on the Free For All. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Luke Swenson from the Money Farm in Bushel. And joining us is going to be Mark Holbrock from the Andersons. Monday morning, we got Donnell Rehagen talking clean fuels right here on AgriTalk.